This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The time now is 9 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock on this Thursday morning, coming to you live from our Houghton studios on this beautiful Thursday morning. Welcome to today's Leadership Dialogue. And we are honored to have a distinguished panel this morning to discuss a critical topic, if you will, and that's the role of the youth in South Africa's development. Our guest today, Kanakana Mudzanani, who's the founding president of the South African Youth Economic Council. Busi Siabe also joins us, a prominent Fees Must Fall activist, and Colin Malachi, the president of the ANC Youth League. And as you'd know, the youth play a vital role in nation building and development, really shaping the future through their contributions to democracy, the economy as well, technology and other areas. And as we face global challenges such as poverty, unemployment and climate change, the next generation holds the key to really solving these problems. And here in South Africa, especially after the recent national elections, the role of the youth in rebuilding and developing the nation is far more important than ever. And I guess that's maybe a good starting point to take reference to Kanakana. How do you envision the South African Youth Economic Council contributing to this economic development that we are talking about right now, especially in the coming years after the elections?
Good morning to you, Nhlanhla. Good morning to the listeners of Power FM, and also good morning to the colleagues that are joining me here today. I think as the South African Youth Economy Council, we are quite aware that the state of young people in this country is quite appalling and quite sad. However, we fundamentally believe that the best way we can solve the problem is by working with the private sector, by working with the government to ensure that at a policy level, the interests of young people are covered, and also at a leadership level that young people are also represented in that arena as well. And then that is how we are going to usher in an era where young people are going to be exposed to mass economic opportunities. Those that are running small businesses will be able to receive financial assistance from the government. They will be able to access various markets, and they'll also be able to trade with other countries as well as other companies or corporations that may not be in the country. We want to usher in an era where it will be easy for someone who is growing up in Soshanguve or in Amuraga in Limpopo to be able to go to Wits University, study medicine without having to worry about where are they going to get the funding for that. And obviously to make sure that upon graduation, they are able to access job opportunities. So I think the South African Youth Economic Council is playing a very good role in terms of advocating for the right policies to move the country forward. But most importantly, making sure that young people are sitting at the table where these decisions are made. Because if we are not being the ones who are deciding what kind of change we want for the future, we are going to be the victims of that change.
Let me also introduce Busi Siabe, who you would remember from the Fees Must Fall activities that we saw playing out a couple of years ago, but also coming at a time where our discussion right now is happening when we are looking at the youth of Kenya, for instance, who have literally driven change within their country through their social activism as well, and taking to the streets, protesting against what the government was seeking to impose in that country in the form of taxes and rates as well. Busi, as we reflect on the role of the youth right now, but also reflecting on your own experience with the Fees Must Fall movement, what lessons can be applied to the current youth-led initiatives for social and economic change in this country?
Thank you very much for having me. I believe it is imperative for us to be able to consider the youth as the means to fundamentally change the narrative around many social issues, particularly socioeconomic issues that we have in this country. And looking at, you know, the participation of youth across the years, not only in South Africa, but across the continent as well, you're able to see that this particular generation of young people is a more vibrant, more civic responsible in, you know, youth that values participation, that values engagement, and that values participating in the changing landscape of not only the political arena, but also the economic arena. So I think it's also important for us to also take into cognizance the importance of having young people in positions of power, and particularly considering the outcome of these elections, the president of young people, the presence rather of young people in parliament has undoubtedly and can undoubtedly benefit to the youth of South Africa by amplifying their voices, advocating for their interests, and inspiring civic participation. And this will now allow us to enhance accountability and promote empowerment. So this representation in formal political institutions, in corporate environments, in communities, and also in the home as well, can prove to be a positive step towards creating a more inclusive and responsive democracy that reflects the aspirations and concerns of all segments of society, particularly the youth being not only the future, but the present of this country. So I think what we're seeing in Kenya as well with the uprising against the finance bill is an indication that young people are not to a large extent similar to the previous generation in that they're complacent.
Yeah.
But this generation of young people is active. This generation of young people has access to social media, and what we've seen in Egypt as well with the uprising that happened in Egypt that to some extent started on social media, we're seeing that young people are able to conversate, they're able to mobilize one another. So activism is becoming a prominent feature of democracy. And, you know, the response of states, just like in the FISMA Spo movement, has perpetually remained violent. And this is why you're seeing, you know, people being killed in Kenya using live ammunition, whereas in South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa was, you know, a little lenient, I guess, on our movement in, you know, shooting students with rubber bullets and tear gas. But you see the same kind of response of violence and repression coming from the state. And you understand particularly the importance of having young people rise up in their different industries, in their different sectors of society, in order for them to take hold and steer the country in the direction that we envision it going for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
Mr. Malachi, let's also bring you into this discussion as well. You join us as ANC Youth League president. And of course, the Youth League play, or rather the youth themselves play a vital role in nation building and development, really shaping the future through their contributions to democracy, the economy as well, like we've heard from Busi, technology and other areas as well. Give us a sense, as president of the ANC Youth League, what are some of your top priorities, especially when it comes to youth development in South Africa?
Look, I think on top of our agenda, since we've arrived, is the issue of the restructuring of the economy to benefit the majority, which are youth. The way the economy is structured, where the minority are low, 90% of the economy is not sustainable. But also, we've spoken about the issue of export quotas, where we're saying that our raw materials must not more than 70% of them must be exported. They must remain in the country to reindustrialize the economy, not to only create job opportunities for the youth, but also create these opportunities for the youth and making sure that the secondary and tertiary sectors are revived in the country. But you see, on top of the agenda is to fight the high level of youth unemployment, but also is to restructure the economy to reflect the majority of South Africans, because the way the economy is not sustainable, a lot of the youth in South Africa are on drugs, they're in prison, they're running around everywhere, you know. They need activities. Now, the role of the government is to create an environment for those activities of the economy, for them to be full participants in their own economy of their own country. Now, those are part of the issues that we really are pushing everywhere we go. That's why we have also advanced the skills revolution, so that the youth of this country have got skills that respond to economic demands of their own country. We've called upon the Minister of Employment to utilize the UIF resources to reskill at least close to 2.5 million young people in this country. And the President, the last term, he made a pronouncement on it that over 25 billion must be set aside for a skills revolution. Now, those are programs that will be monitoring very hard, making sure that the government of national unity implements all of those programs, because they're the only programs that can resolve the socio-economic problems of our own country. We're saying the days of rhetoricing and just talking is over. Now it's time for action. Let's utilize every resource we have to resolve the socio-economic problems of our own country.
And I guess, Kanakana, to ride off the back of what Colin is saying as well, what strategies do you believe are most effective in empowering youth economically, but also reducing this worrying unemployment rate that we are seeing in this country?
Well, I think just to also add to what the president of the Youth League just outlined here, I think the beneficiation of minerals is something that must be accelerated by the seventh administration. The reality of the matter is that when you export raw materials, you are ultimately exporting jobs. So we fundamentally believe that placing an embargo on the amount of raw materials that can be exported through the Mineral and Petroleum Resource Development Act of 2002, we will be able to alleviate a lot of young people who are in rural areas where mining is taking place in a large scale from the tyranny of unemployment. But not only stop there, we fundamentally believe that the government must amend the PFMA and MFMA, because you would know the government is the largest procurer of goods and services in this country, to make sure that all goods and services that are procured by the government are done by small businesses within the country. So a Wembe district municipality, for instance, must not give its auditing services to KPMG, but rather they must give an auditing firm which is based within the district. That is how you'll empower small businesses. And if you go anywhere in the world, you would know that small businesses are at the center of advancing job creation at a mass scale. Then the last one is the issue of the cannabis economy. I think young people in rural areas have access to land. The government must just make sure that it removes red tapes, it makes funding available. In our days at Wits universities, already students were growing those things in their own rooms. It shows that young people can meaningfully participate in that space. So the administration must just make sure that there is no red taping, there is enough funding available, and all unoccupied land in this country must be redirected to young people who want to make use of it. And that is how, as the president of the Youth League outlined, we are going to temper with the ownership structure in this country and make sure that it is reflective of the country's demographics.
We are in today's leadership dialogue, and we're honored to have a distinguished panel to discuss a critical topic this morning, and that's the role of the youth in South Africa's development. Our guest today, you just heard from Kanakana Mudzanani. He's the founding president of the South African Youth Economic Council. Busi Siabe also joins us. She's a prominent Fees Must Fall activist, and Colin Malachi, the president of the ANC Youth League. We continue with this discussion in a short while.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
With just 6 minutes left before we go to headlines, we're honored to have a distinguished panel to discuss a critical topic today, and that's the role of youth in South Africa's development. Amongst our speakers is Busi Siabe, who's a prominent Fees Must Fall activist. Busi, I'll continue with you. When looking at the role of the youth, it is quite critical in rebuilding and developing South Africa. It's more important than ever, some will argue today. What are the biggest challenges that South African youth face today, and how can they be addressed through collective action, if you will?
I think we must also begin by just contextualizing our present predicament as young people. We are faced with an alleged government of national unity. And I say alleged because there can't be a government of national unity, whereas other political parties like MK and the EFF and Al-Jamaa outside of that government of national unity, because it means that it will present a particular demographic of individuals and not the entire country. And more than anything else, I want to live in the Narnia that Colin lives in believing that, you know, the current government of national unity will be able to afford or provide for the needs of young people in this country, when ideologically everyone within that government of national unity does not agree with one another. When you particularly look at, you know, the different policy perspectives and their manifestos around education alone, you are able to understand that the DA proposes that we're going to have young people are going to have to get loans from commercial banks in order for them to access education. You find Cyril Ramaphosa has rescinded on the forward movement that we've made under President Jacob Zuma in acquiring free education. You'll find the PAC is a different perspective. So what we're faced with now is a government that, one, cannot agree on fundamental basic needs for the for South Africans. And that on its own is alienating this government from its citizens. And obviously through the first 100 days of this administration, we'll be able to see what they'll be able to achieve. But more than anything else, I do believe that, you know, the issues around higher education, the issues around basic education and the curriculum, issues around high unemployment, which has risen, right? Most recently, the issues around access to the economy, access to land, the issues around skills development and skills mismatch vis-a-vis what people are acquiring skills in and what the job market is requiring of them. And the differences also with regards to, you know, being able to access the economy, being able to access things like land. The racial tensions within the country are also a very big problem that we're unable to effectively address. There are a myriad of issues that are facing young people currently. And unfortunately, young people do not have, at the moment, absolute confidence in this new government of national unity, considering the fact that they are unable to agree on fundamental basic things. Even things like forced migration are an issue for young people. Conflicts, economic instability, environmental disasters also are forcing many young people to migrate. And this forces them to, you know, face challenges such as loss of educational opportunities, family separation, and vulnerability to exploitation. So young people are also vulnerable to exploitation and precarious labor, right? Considering also the fact that the minimum wage is unable to cater for people to afford the kind of basic necessities that they need to be able to live. So there's also an affordability. Can we afford to be alive currently as young people? Can we afford to essentially participate or in some degree or to some degree attempt to access even that economy that keeps us locked out? The racial tensions that continue to permeate throughout our society that are also institutional. There are a myriad of issues that young people are faced with. And also, you know, this election and looking at the representation of, you know, in this liberal democracy that we have, we understand that those in the executive, in the legislature, and in civil service often operate based on partisan and personal agendas that are influenced by party caucuses. And this inter-party trade-off and this bureaucratic red tape that is preventing young people from even participating in entrepreneurship. Currently, it acts as a barrier for specific systematic inclusion and change. And this systematic constraint of party lines and bureaucratic structures limits young people's ability to exercise independent judgment or act on conscience, for an example. And this is why I don't believe Colin understands to a large extent the issues that young people are faced with, because he is clouded by, you know, the party line. He is clouded by the bureaucratic structure of the ANC Youth League that till today has not served young people effectively. And the FISMA for movement is evident of that. Other movements as well, and the outcome not only of these elections, but also the growing unemployment rate is indicative of this. And the corruption within the ANC, which is spilled over into government, is indicative of the fact that the ANC Youth League has failed to essentially uphold its own mandate. And we can't expect them to now be awakened all of a sudden to the kinds of needs that young people have in this country, because it's too beneficial. Having lost the election dismally, having, you know, looking at their mother body, the ANC, having reduced in number under Cyril Ramaphosa's presidency, we cannot now expect that the ANC Youth League has now come to a realization of the issues that young people have with the organization and with the state as an entirety, and trust them to address them. I think young people are now moving into a more activist role, and we're going to see more public protests. We're going to see more shutdowns happening not only in the country but all across the continent, because young people have no more faith in representatives, but they've now decided to come together and to address a lot of their issues without having to worry about proportional representation or, you know, bureaucratic structures.
Busi, I'm going to give Colin Malachi an opportunity to also respond in a short while, but also looking forward to hearing from the ANC Youth League insofar as how they plan to engage with and also mobilize the youth to participate actively in the nation's democratic processes. Also asking this morning, what ways can the youth collaborate, or the Youth League, for instance, collaborate with other youth organizations to create a unified approach to national development? We will get a response after the headlines. Here's Nyaka.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861 987 000.
Indeed, that's the power line. If you've got any questions to pose to our panel of guests this morning, we are really pleased to have or discuss this critical topic that is the role of youth in South Africa's development. Our guest today, a reminder, is Kanakana Mudzanani, who joins me in studio this morning, the founding president of the South African Youth Economic Council, Busi Siabe, prominent Fees Must Fall activist who you heard from a short while ago, and Colin Malachi, who's the president of the ANC Youth League. Mr. Malachi, maybe let me continue with you right now. We've heard reflections from our guests this morning, including yourself, but how does the ANC Youth League then plan to engage with or even mobilize the youth to participate actively in the nation's democratic process?
Yeah, I think before I start by answering that question, I need to clarify some few pointers.
Go ahead.
The other speaker. One is that the South African voters did not give any political party in this election the majority to rule. It just made the ANC to be the largest among the political parties. None of them have got over 50 plus one votes in South Africa. Now, that the African National Congress invited all political parties, including the MK and the EFF, to come forward and assist in this government of national unity, which has got conditions also. That one is that the social contract that we have with South Africans, we can't move away from it, including what has been raised by a leader of the Fees Must Fall movement, that the issue is the issue of NFSAS. Those are social contracts we have with our people, the issue of SASA, and part of the issue of the restructuring of the economy and many other issues are issues that within everyone must come in and must implement that, because the constitution of the country allows the president, the executive authority, to instruct and give directive to whoever ministers that agree to be part of that government. Now, I feel like that must be clarified, because the engagements are done with everyone else. But most importantly, I think I want to agree also with Lekalakana, what I said. Nothing can be resolved in this country if the economic structure is structured the same way. You know, the youth must fully participate also in the food security sector, agriculture. You know, we need to, we've long announced on this thing, it must be implemented. We need to create economic corridors. You know, an economic corridor, what do I mean? Every province must have an economic activity. Provinces like Mpumalanga, Limpopo, that are known mainly on mining and agriculture. We need, from high school level up to TVET colleges, up to universities, subjects that respond to the economic demand that must be introduced, because the youth there might not be forced to be migrant workers to move to Gauteng, where you can set up processing factories there, you can set up farms there for the youth to fully participate in the, both the mining sector and all of these sectors. Now, we must be solution-based, because we can't be a generation of young people that that only complains. We need to come out with solutions on how to move the country forward, because it is us who must move the country forward. The generation of the 1990s and others, they played their part to move the country forward. We have an opportunity now. The new conditions of the country gives us a new opportunity to unite everyone. As you have said, we've been inviting our political structures, like many other organizations, including the organizations led by Lekalakala, to come forward to say that, what are the ideas? We're planning at this point to convene also some kind of a consultative conference of the youth on how best can we move this country forward, with all NGOs involved, from the art and culture sector, popular culture, agriculture, sports, youth in business, youth in ICT. Everyone must come forward, because to say that, guys, we can't be stuck now. The generation has pushed us this far. Now we need to move forward. We can't be waiting for any miracles. We can't be waiting for 70-year-old or 60-year-old to give solutions to this country. It is us who must give solutions, because this country is left with us. Now, I felt that we need to clarify some of those issues. How do we get the youth to be active again? The youth of this country will never be fully active again if their socio-economic challenges are not resolved. There's no political parties that have got majority votes from what they should have got, or were able to take out the youth, as many as possible, to go and vote, because the youth is demoralized, the youth is unemployed, the youth is on drugs, the youth are on the streets, the youth have lost confidence that this economy will create more opportunities for them. Also, COVID-19 has not done justice. You know, it also affected many jobs. That's why in the beginning of my introduction, I said that the most important thing, that we need to be very selfish and re-emphasize on export quotas. Beneficiation is very important. South Africans must come first. We must industrialize the economy to create enough jobs for the youth and the people of South Africa. But not only jobs, but also create for them economic opportunities for them to participate. And that's very important. And there was a debate that we must also revive again. The issue of youth subsidy, you know, youth wage subsidy. Youth wage subsidy is a very important debate that we must bring in unlocking more opportunities, because that today is the main industries that South African labor is most expensive. I know that they might default COSAT, but we need to find a way of making the economy and making investors to be attracted to this economy, to be effective, to create more jobs for the youth. Now, those programs are the programs that will attract the youth to come back to proper politics. I don't agree with the narrative of depoliticizing the youth and the youth just moving around. The youth must be politicized, must be conscientized, you know. The youth must know what they're advancing at the same time. But part of the dangers of depoliticizing the youth is that they can be hijacked into agendas they don't know.
Mm.
We've seen the July unrest where young people, out of their anger of unemployment, many problems, opportunities direct them in other terms. But if they are conscientized, they'll know that these unrest are there to further reverse the gains of freedom, to further put us them in more crisis. Because when you ban malls, when you ban factories, you are reversing the little gains that you have. Then you're moving forward and building more. You are moving backwards. When you ban clinics, when you ban... Now, you have to concentrate so you to understand that activism does not mean that you must damage property, you know. That's why it must be clarified that fifth must fall moment is not only the moment. We've been marching. We've been formal leaders of COSA, SASCO. We've been marching for free education. We've been marching for many other issues that are benefiting now. Just that fifth must fall moment is a moment that happened at a time where the fees were increased, youth were energized, and everyone worked together. That's why we call it a moment, not a movement. Because it's a very important stage in our history where youth organize themselves to fight against the increasement of fees. But for many years, there's been activism, young activists on the ground mobilizing. COSAS has been mobilizing for free education until teacher levels. The SASCO has been doing the same. I know PASMA, they've been doing the same. Later on, when other organizations were formed, like the EFF Student Command, that activism does not get postponed because of there's no cameras or there's no populist acts and all of those things. It continues because issues of the youth are a moving target. Now and again, needs organization to resolve them. That's why organization exists for that purpose. Now, youth will always align themselves with organizations and people that speak to their issues. Now, if you don't speak to their issues, if you are not seeking to resolve their issues, the problem. If you have seen, since we've came into office, we've called upon the Minister of Employment to utilize the UIF resources to resolve the problem. President Trump's own money will be set aside. The issue of the NEFSAS, were the first ones to call upon the dissolution of the NEFSAS board and be put under administration, because we saw that a lot of youth are suffering because of
maladministration. Mr. Malachi, please wrap up your thought, because I also want to give my fellow panelists enough time as well.
Oh, okay. No, I felt that, I must explain all of those issues so that you understand that we're not sitting down doing nothing. But I'm saying that we can't do it alone. We need all of them, including our panelists. Everyone must join hands and ideas to resolve all of these problems. This problem requires everyone to resolve them, because they are bigger than one organization. They need all youth activists to unite in one voice and share ideas on how to resolve this and move forward, especially now when we are in a government of national unity where not everyone fully agrees on how to move the country forward ideologically.
We'll get your views on the GNU as well in a short while, Colin. But let me move to Kanakana here in studio. Kanakana, we've heard from our fellow panelists, but when you look at youth entrepreneurs, a lot of emphasis has been placed on creating opportunities for them specifically. How can young entrepreneurs in this country be supported more to even drive innovation and economic growth in the country?
Look, I think we've been very clear as a council that in our engagements with all DFIs, we've consistently called for all of them to come together and create a fund that is aimed at supporting emerging industrialists. It could allocate R1 billion, it could allocate R2 billion. We're very glad that in our calls we've also been working with the Deputy President. He's been very supportive of our call. To date, he's mobilized about R400 million through the IDC. So ours is just to make sure that we reach the target that we wanted, we make that necessary follow-up. So what you need is at a large scale funding for these young entrepreneurs. Mm. But over and above that, you need to make sure that they've got a market. And we are consistent in saying that government is the largest procurer of goods and services. So government must make sure that a young person that is funded by CIFA, a young person that is funded by NEF, automatically they must make sure that they support them by procuring either their goods or their services. And we fundamentally believe that this box-ticking exercise of subjecting emerging entrepreneurs to R50,000 grants through the NYDA must come to an abrupt end, because we can't build a layer of entrepreneurs if we are consistent in doing that. Another thing which we must work on achieving is the issue of SARS. a lot of emerging entrepreneurs are consistently compelled to paying SARS when they are still at an infant stage of their business.
Yeah.
I've engaged with my counterparts from China, and they've told me that if you are not making a revenue of at least 20 million rand in South Africa, you should not be subjected to corporate tax because you are still at an infant stage. So government must be willing to support you, make sure that you employ people, make sure that you've got a sustainable business, and then they can then start speaking about issues of taxation. But beyond entrepreneurship, and I hope the Youth League will support me in this call, we are currently writing to Mr. Kulemase, the HOD of Agriculture and Rural Development as well as Environment in the province, because you would have seen last night there's some circular that is already rotating that the Green Army or the so-called workers that were busy through EPWP programs, their contract has come to an end. It's quite sad, and we hope that the Premier can in one way or the other intervene in that end and make sure that that group or that cohort of young people must be employed on a permanent basis by the state. We don't want to subscribe to austerity measures that were advanced by the then Minister of Finance, Mr. Tito Mboweni. The state has money, and the state must utilize that money to create employment when necessary. No one must be receiving retrenchment letters or being told that because their contracts have ended, they are not going to be extended. So we hope that that plea is going to be supported by both my colleagues here to make sure that young people are at work, we grow the economy, and we keep them away from drugs. The second last point that I want to make also is that we have identified ministries that we fundamentally believe that the president, in exercising his prerogative, must allocate them to young people. For instance, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition must be allocated to young people who are open, either being appointed as ministers, deputy ministers, or chairs of portfolio committee. There's many young people that are in parliament that the president can pick from, highly qualified. Also, the Department of Higher Education and Training speaks to the development of young people, so that too must be prioritized. Small business development, basic education, employment and labor as well. And then the last one is that on the GNU, our fundamental belief as a council is that South Africans are looking for basic service delivery. They want to open a tap and water comes out. They want to switch on the light and the light comes up. So it's quite saddening that political parties are preoccupied by which one must take which position and who must be a DG and who must not be a DG. South Africans do not want that. South Africans want a government that is going to work in ensuring that a Kanakana who is growing up in Lusikisiki has the same access to opportunities to someone who is born in the northern suburbs of Johannesburg. So our belief is that politicians must not be concerned about who is getting which ministry, but they must be concerned about making sure that load shedding is resolved, Transnet issues are fixed, and this country must move forward. So we hope that the president is going to make sure also that in the Department of Higher Education and Training, communists that have been demonstrating characteristics of being far right are not going to be reappointed there, because we want young people to go to school, we want them to get skilled, and we want them to have access to such opportunities. So people that are not helpful, the president must not bring them back to cabinet. And we are glad that the Youth League, since it has been elected, it has been raising those calls, calling out ministers that are not executing their role to the benefit of young people. They must go.
Well, we continue getting perspectives from our panelists. Up next will be Busisi Abish to give us her thoughts around better integrating youth perspectives and really addressing specific needs in economic development planning, especially as we look at how policies are drafted, and still awaiting news on what a cabinet at national level will look like. And of course, taking some of your calls as well, the Power Listener, Lebo in Orlando East, we see you, Paul in Kyalami, as well as Kabelo in Garankuwa. We take your calls in a short while. Do stay with us.
Power Talk, 9 a.m. to noon.
This is a Power Talk, still continuing our discussion, looking specifically at the theme of the role of youth in South Africa's development. Our guest today, a reminder, is Kanakana Madzanani, founding president of the South African Economic Council for Youth, Busisi Abe, prominent Fees Must Fall activist, and Colin Malachi, the president of the ANC Youth League. Before we take your power calls, let's maybe go to Busi very quickly and speak to the issue around policy. Busi, how can policies be crafted to better integrate youth perspectives, but also address their specific needs in economic development planning?
I think it's important for us to have a practical recipe to make sure that these policies are effective and that they're implemented in a way where young people will be able to tangibly benefit. And this means that policies must be taken from a macro level and contextualized, domesticated, and translated into action and mainstreamed into national plans and budgets and regularly reported on. This means that there needs to be an ecosystem of efficiency to connect the macro and the micro level interventions to make a difference when looking at the importance of shared value partnerships and entrepreneurship and also skills development. So what we do need to look at is we need to facilitate youth development from the perspective of implementing robust vocational training and skills development programs that are aligned with industry needs that can enhance the employability of young people. This includes promoting technical skills, entrepreneurship training, and digital literacy, considering that we are attempting to actively participate in the fourth industrial revolution being a more digital kind of revolution. We need to start looking at encouraging businesses also to offer internships and apprenticeships that can provide value work experience and also bridge the gap between education and employment, considering the fact that, you know, there is a bit of a skills mismatch when looking at what young people are studying and what is available in terms of employment in the market. So government also needs to provide incentives for companies to hire young people so that they can, you know, stimulate these opportunities for young people. And we need to look at, you know, SMMEs, for an example, considering the fact that SMMEs are often significant employers of youth. We need to provide them with access to finance, mentorship and training that can strengthen their capacity to create jobs and absorb young graduates as well. We need to look at entrepreneurship support, which also involves creating an enabling environment for young entrepreneurs through access to funding, through access to incubators, business development, and also support.
Please wrap up your thought, please, Busi, as we going to take more calls.
Stimulate innovation and job creation. I think when, you know, my co-panelists speak about some of the advice that they're getting from countries like China, for an example, we need to be wary and cognizant of the fact that China is a communist state, and they've been able to develop their economy to absorb young people in a particular manner, unlike in South Africa, where we have a neoliberal capitalist government that was, you know, perpetuated and led by the ANC government, and the ANC Youth League said absolutely nothing about that and continues to support, you know, the kind of capitalist notions that have led to this increasing unemployment rate. So I think we need to be very careful about how we position political parties and young people in political parties in terms of representation. And we need to start looking at taking the power for ourselves as young people out of formal political structures like the ANC Youth League.
Let's go to the power lines right now and speak to Lebo in Orlando East. Lebo, you'd like to add to the discussion as well.
I've got questions for the youth leaders there. We all know that we have a problem here, the drug abusing of drugs by our youth and unemployment as well. But I don't hear them saying saying how they're going to force the government to remove drugs from the communities. Because rehabilitation alone won't help. It's not a solution that the Sihumi, because when they come back, they still find them, the drugs in the areas. And then another thing, the issue of illegal foreigners occupying jobs meant for South Africans. I don't hear them saying anything about that because it's in the Immigration Act. So I don't hear them talking about the government enforcing the sections of the Immigration Act and also arresting the foreigners, the employers of foreigners in farms and in the industries. So I was expecting them to even talk about the scraping of special permits like the ZEPs, because those foreigners are occupying jobs which are meant for South Africans.
Lebo in Orlando East. We go to Kyalami very quickly and speak to Paul. Paul, if you can, please keep it short and sweet.
No problem. Thank you very much in terms of inviting the guests to speak about this important engagement. So my thing is, I agree with Anakana, who says that the SMEs are very important. When you look at internationally, right, most countries have, most countries' labor comes from SMEs. However, in South Africa, we have a big issue. Most industries are controlled by oligopolies, right? So my question is, how do we then move away from oligopolies? Because oligopolies mandate a shareholder venue and not necessarily employment. So how do you move away from oligopolies and to essentially having an economy that caters mostly for SMEs?
Awesome. Paul in Kyalami, Kabelo in Harankua, you've got under a minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. Maybe let me just shoot straight because this is a consultative session. The president has really alluded, Colin. But my submission is that one, let's pursue for a Vision 2035, which will be an implementation plan to the mandate and put on as to how we anticipate to govern the process. And in pursuing one, Ministry of Small Business from the Youth League side in engaging the GNU to say, let's have the Ministry of Small Business, GTI, so that we'll be able to implement the program plan. Because policies that are there, they are sweet and well. So what we need is the implementation plan as to how we want to see and accelerate youth development and ministering of youth development in all the departments. And lastly, to say, in the scorecard of ministers and deputy ministers and DGs, we need to pursue that they need to prioritize youth development. It must be in their scorecard. When we assess ministers, DGs, and deputy ministers, we assess them also in terms of how they've implemented the flagship project, not the action project program. So we need to accelerate the process of saying mentoring of youth development, persuasion of flagship project. So, Colin, I hope Zamai's listening and all other youth leaders from provinces and regions so that we'll be able to pursue the process of accelerating consultative sessions in the build-up of the conference that you anticipated so that in the conference we have a mandate of all youth of the country, mandating the youth league to say they must go and champion the processes of youth development in the GNU negotiation.
Let's go to Colin Malachi very quickly to get his insights. Unfortunately, we have run out of time and need to go to news. But Mr. Malachi, to give you the last bite, we've heard from our guests as well, but a lot being said about the formation of this GNU. What are the key policy reforms that you think are needed to create a more supportive environment, especially for youth entrepreneurship and innovation? Because all these things that our guests spoke to right now, drug abuse in our communities and a lack of opportunity, they're making these scourges even worse.
I think the key issues that we need to put in, one is that we need to fast-track the implementation of the Home Affairs White Paper that has to deal with the migration and the management of the borders, which is the most important thing, because many South Africans have been complaining that a lot of undocumented foreigners are also exploited by restaurants and many other businesses at the expense of the youth of this country, but also they've been accused of participating in illegal activities of drugs and the spiral web economy of tech shops everywhere. Now, the other issue that we need to push in is that the skills development must be a compulsory program that everyone, especially the missing youth that are not in school, are not at work, we need to develop clear programs by adding on the Department of Employment and add skills on it. So it's got a special focus. So everyone is active and skills are...
Mr. Malachi, tell you what, we need to go to news now. So what we'll do, we'll just pause and take news very quickly. And then, we'll continue our discussion for about 5 minutes before moving on. So if you'll just be patient and hang on the line a bit. It's time for news right now. Here's Nyaka Lotif.
Power Talk, 9 a.m. to noon.
Doing things a bit differently today and affording my panelists an opportunity to give their final thoughts this morning as we continue with our discussion on the role of youth in South Africa's development. And please be cognizant to keep it very short, if you will. I'll start with Colin Malachi, then move to Busi Siabe. And of course, here in studio, I am joined by Kanakana Mutsanani. Mr. Malachi, let's get your final thoughts on this discussion.
Yeah, I think mainly the discussion of solution-based from both all the panelists that are here. I think our obsession, all of us, is to resolve the social economic problems facing our country, which mainly structure the economy to benefit the majority, but ultimately resolve some of your problems of teenage pregnancy, drugs, and many other problems that are facing the youth and all South Africans, including crime and many other issues that have excluded our people out of their own economic activities. But I think the emphasis and the lobby that we're doing to introduce the new ministry just of employment and skills development, mainly to focus on the unemployment and also to reskill the youth that are not in school but also are not in employment. Now, I think those are part of the policy that we're pushing moving forward. But I can assure you now, we're going to continue the work and monitor them. We'll be working with all stakeholders, including those who are in the panel this year, to hold everyone who's deployed by the Government of National Unity accountable. We've already started in the last administration, and we want to continue. And that's part of the reasons why, as the president of the Youth League, I have not went back to Parliament, because you can't be a raven and a player. Now, that's why we took a decision that all of us must be there in the two house to make sure that we monitor and make sure the problems of the youth are resolved.
Right, right. Got you. Busi Siabe, let's get your final thoughts as well in under a minute, please.
It's important to understand that the power of the people lies in various forms of mobilization, activism, and pressure that holds the government accountable and pushes for the inclusion of popular demands in state agendas. So real people's power involves self-organization beyond dominant power structures, which enables individuals to explore, experiment, and express forms of power, politics, and economics outside the mechanisms of the state and political parties beholden to the state and corporate interests. So the essence of real people's power is the capacity to express demand beyond the ballot box. Mm. It's about exploring all avenues to dismantle the tyranny of capital and state. It lies in a steadfast hope that power will eventually dissolve to the people, transforming the state into an expression of the people's will until the state, as an instrument of domination, ceases to exist. So this vision advocates for a dynamic, participatory democracy where continuous civic engagement and activism drives genuine change.
Kanakana, you've got the last bite as well. Give us your reflections on the discussion as we close off.
No, I think we are all clear that our generational mission is that of economic freedom, and whoever stands in our way, we are going to push them. My last bite is that young people must be entrusted with positions of power. For a very long time, incompetent old people have been running this country to the grave. So it's time for us as young people to be given a seat at the table, to co-govern with those that have been good, that are old in government, so that we can learn from their experiences. But the president, I hope, as he appoints this cabinet, is going to entrust young people with serious responsibilities. I want to also say your headline here is focused on the wrong thing, that it's not the Amapanyazas that are getting fired. What about the green armies? We need to focus on those young people that have been told that their contracts have been terminated, and we need to make sure that they are employed, because there is nothing that is as difficult as going back to not having an income whilst for the entire year you were at least a bit of a light at home. The GNU must deliver services. Let's fix load shedding so that we can grow the economy and protect SMMEs. Let's fix Transnet. And most importantly, let's advance rural development. That is how we are going to make sure that we stabilize this country and grow it.
As we conclude today's leadership dialogue, we've explored crucial insights into the role of youth in South Africa's development. Our esteemed panelists, Kanakana Mudzanani, Busi Siabe, and Colin Malaji, have really provided invaluable perspectives on how the youth can drive economic, social, and political change in South Africa. Let me thank all my panelists for joining us this morning.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.